Our meditation for this fourth Sunday in Easter is on our psalm. Hear the word of our Lord from Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11.
Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food, and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love.
This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why, O Christian, must we praise the Lord? We know that we must. We know that we should. We know that it is good to do, but why do it? At first blush, this question seems easy to answer. We praise God because God is worthy to be praised. He's good. Yet when you ask more deeply, you begin to wonder, if God already knows that he's holy and perfect, then why do we declare him to be holy and perfect? Does he rely on you for his worthiness? When our churches sing, "A mighty fortress is our God," do we think that our Lord is unaware of this fact? Or perhaps there is this lurking, nagging feeling in the back of your mind, and you're not willing to say it because it sounds blasphemous, but maybe you've had thoughts that all these commands to praise our Lord amount to commands to puff up God's divine ego, as though he suffered from some sort of deity low self-esteem. Worse yet, maybe someone tells you that praising God is for making you a better person, as though you needed any more of a reason to make anything about yourself. This adds even more confusion, as now we end up riddled with questions about how exactly talking about how good God is makes us better. Thankfully, our psalm reading for today clears it up. In a word, praising God is a way to say thank you. It is a way to express our love for God as a response to all the good that he does. Now, certainly the psalmist does teach us what we are thankful for, just as hymnody is intended to teach the faith while expressing the faith. And in doing this, in learning this, we find ourselves thanking the Lord more frequently and more from our hearts. We are taught and reminded of the unspeakable grace which he pours out on us. So here, from today's psalm, let's find out a few things. The psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord." Why is that? Well, verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. Well, he builds us a home. He builds a home for us believers and gathers us outcasts to it. We have a sure promise from our Lord Jesus that he goes to prepare the heavenly Jerusalem for his church. That's John 14, verses 2 and 3, and Revelation 21, verses 9 through 27. Verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." because God heals our broken hearts, bringing us joy where there was once sorrow and peace where there was turmoil, he promises here that if we are feeling depressed or anxious or distraught over anything at all, he shall at some point bring us back to happiness, whether in this life or the next. Dear Christian, your sorrows are temporary. Verse 6, it says, the Lord lifts up the humble, he casts the wicked to the ground. He takes you and I out of our shame and humiliation. He gives us dignity, lifting up those who humbly worship him while casting down the arrogant who torment us. In verses 8 and 9 say, he covers the heavens with the clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. And he feeds the grass with rain, feeds the animals with the grass, and feeds us with both the animals and the vegetation. This is an explicit statement that God cares for your well-being. So if we reread these few verses, we can thank God for giving us a home. We thank God for healing our broken hearts. We thank God for giving us dignity instead of shame, and for feeding us, taking care of our needs. And he does all of this while not having to do so at all. He is the Lord of the entire universe. The psalmist points out that he names the stars. Having created all of the stars and surveyed the depths of the oceans that he made, he could easily say that we are too insignificant to matter. Yet he pays attention even to the little ravens. And if he is willing to do that, then he is willing to look after you, beloved. After all, as our Lord Jesus says, you are worth more than many small birds. Matthew 10, verse 31. I know, for the sticklers of Scripture there, our Lord Christ says sparrows, but the point still stands with ravens as well. The sense of the text is this. We praise the Lord because he looks upon each and every one of us and cares. Especially to every member of his people, the true Israel that is the church, our Lord sees us, loves us, cares about us, and has planned an eternal blessedness for us. And so we praise him with a spirit of thanksgiving, with a love that says, "You are everything to me, Lord." And though this praise is an act of gratitude on our part, God appreciates and values it. As the last two verses say, his delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Now the peace of our Lord, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.